Hello and welcome to the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. I, of course, am your mayor of PHNX, occasionally known as Derek Montilla, and I'm thrilled to have you guys here. Of course, I'm joined by the vice mayor of PHNX. Jesse, people don't even know my name anymore. They just come up to you like, you're the mayor guy, right, from PHNX?
Well, you've said that line so many times that my mind just robotically thinks like, okay, yes, his name is Derek Montilla, and he's occasionally known as the mayor. And I was like, wait a second, what he said.
Something's wrong here. He flipped
it around on me.
Yeah. But of course, no matter how I flip it, this show is brought to you by the fine folks at DraftKings Sportsbook app. Go download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now, just in time for Turkey Day, and they have a brand new promotion just for you. New customers can bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets. That's right. You can get $100 in free bets for betting on the Lions to lose. And this year, you'll get something for it. So again, just $1 or more on any Thanksgiving NFL game for new customers to win $100 in free bets using our code of PHNX. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We're excited to have you here. And we're excited to talk about this next phase of the baseball season. Jesse, I'm excited. Let's go. It's time to talk collective bargaining agreements.
Yes, our favorite thing to talk about.
Yeah, and lockouts and labor agreements and all of this stuff that's happening. The current labor deal ends on December 1st, which is 1 week from this Wednesday, and a lockout appears to be inevitable between MLB Players Association and the owners. So, Jesse, what's happening here? What are the two sides still far apart on as far as a new collective bargaining agreement?
I think they're far apart on just about everything. And that's why a lockout seems inevitable here, right? I mean, every time, you know, every 5 years or so that this time rolls around when the CBA expires, there's always disagreements. There's always things, you know, that one side wants that the other side isn't willing to give. And you know, they arrange some sort of a compromise. They meet in the middle and we go on. But this year, the difference between what the owners want and what the players want is enormous. And that's why we are almost, I mean, anyone who tells you that we're not going to have a lockout a week from Wednesday, I mean, you just saying that made me realize how inevitable this is. I mean,
oh, within a week away. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And like, not only that, but I mean, it's Thanksgiving this next week, right? Like is the commissioner going to be on the phone all day on Thanksgiving, like figuring this stuff out, right? Is Tony Clark from the Players Association? Like, I don't think so.
They're already on vacation. They're already feet up somewhere with a cognac and having a good time probably for their Thanksgiving week. For people that don't understand, by the way, and I am one of them, so I'm including myself in this group, but the collective bargaining agreement is just basically that. It's pretty much sets everything for MLB. It doesn't matter if it's salaries, contractual structure, roster sizes, free agency impacts, travel protocols, and the new, you know, the COVID protocols that they're going to have to continue to consider and take into, you know, like expand and evolve as the situation evolves. There's a lot here, not to mention all of the other stuff that people want changed about baseball. Some people want these rather impactful changes to baseball, and other people are sticking to their guns about the traditional ways that the game is, you know, been played over the last billion years that baseball's been in existence. I think about the NFL, though. I think the NFL made some pretty radical rule changes, and people did not like them at first, myself included, right? It took away parts of the game that we really enjoyed, parts of the game that we consider to be essential to watching football.
Like what? Run through some of those. I'm not as familiar with the NFL side of things. What have they? I know they changed like where the kicker kicks off the ball, right? And sure, so now you basically never, like, it's like returning the football is actually pretty rare.
That's
now.
Exactly it. Kickoffs, they've almost eliminated kickoffs. It's not to say that they don't happen, but they don't have that same impact on the game, you know. And they also changed, you know, just a lot of rules in regards to a sport that needed to have its rules assessed. You know, there were far too many people getting injured critically, like, you know, getting injured and being paralyzed, getting injured and having brain injuries and other serious conditions that stem from playing a sport, really, at the end of the day, right? So it, I think that a lot of the things they did made the game much safer. And I don't really think of those changes that often. Like, even as I sit here, you nailed the number one thing that I thought of, which is kickoffs. And it's not to say there hasn't been, you know, tons of changes over the last 5 to 10 years in the NFL. It's just, it's hard to think of them now because so many of them are just the way that the rules went, as far as the way players could play, you know, how a defensive lineman could sack a quarterback, and all the things they do now to protect quarterbacks in those situations. These are things that people raged at, you know, yelled at the sky over when the NFL made these rule changes. And now you don't hear anybody talking about them, right? So I feel like baseball has things like the designated hitter and other things that people are always going to argue about. But once they just pull the trigger and make it happen, those changes are going to be easily accepted by people. I don't think that those are the major concerns right now in regards to the collective bargaining agreement, but I do know that a lot of this does involve, you know, things that they want to change about the game at the same time. And this is essentially the time to do it. This is, you know, the time for a new labor agreement is for them to go over almost everything about baseball. You sent me a text message that said baseball is not going to be the same game in 2022. And that's why this collective bargaining agreement is kind of so important right now, right? Like, this is going to impact the game in a big way. It's going to impact competitive balance. It's going to impact the playoff structure. There's a lot of things they're going to, you know, set into play here, but they're not even at those things yet, Jesse. They're still at all of these other barriers in regards to salary and, you know, how much teams can spend and everything like that before they even get to the potential improvements of the game.
You're absolutely right. This really, I mean, as all CBA situations ultimately come down to, this is really about the money, right? I mean, and there's a genuine reason for that here. I mean, the issue is that the players are seeing a situation where over the last several years, player salaries have actually decreased across the game of baseball. They've actually gone down, not up. And meanwhile, you know, teams are pulling in record revenues from TV deals and whatnot. And, you know, teams don't have an open book. So it's hard for us to really understand how much Major League Baseball teams are making. But just based on the size of these TV contracts, it's no secret that owners are getting richer on this game right now. And players are looking at this situation as, you know, why are our salaries going down when overall the game is becoming is as profitable as it's ever been? Right. And so that's the fundamental reason behind all of this is players are asking for some pretty significant changes. So, you know, we're talking about things like getting to arbitration earlier. As it stands right now, players have 3 years pre-arbitration where they're under team control, 3 years of service time, and then they hit arbitration in the fourth year. They want to move that up a year, which I think is a pretty reasonable thing to ask. I think there's a decent chance something along those lines happen. They want to get to free agency sooner. Generally, it takes 6 years of service time right now. That's sort of the benchmark in order to hit free agency. And these guys don't want to be hitting free agency when they're 30 or 31 and teams are kind of viewing them as, you know, kind of past their prime, right? That happens for a lot of guys. Unless you break the league at 21 or 22, it's hard to hit those 6 years of service time while you're still in your prime, right? So
not to mention the fact that teams have that ability to manipulate the start of your career when you come up from the minor league. So that 6 years might be 7 years, could maybe even be 8 years, depending on how long they stretch out the number of call-ups and when they decide to actually get that clock started on your major league time.
It's a really easy system to manipulate. And on the flip side of things, the owners don't really like the arbitration process anyway. They want to just do away with arbitration, which for the record, arbitration is awkward. I don't know if people really understand fully what arbitration is, but arbitration, Derek, is where two sides sit at a table with a group of, you know, an objective third party. I think there's three people who help make the decision.
Mediators,
yeah, mediators. And basically what happens is the owners, right, the team has a representative who basically tries to argue why the player is not worth that much. Literally right in front of the player and their agent, most likely they're both there, right? It's tremendously awkward. Like, could you imagine?
I would love that job. That would be such a great job. I would feel like you could just unleash all of your stress in life on this player. Ladies and gentlemen of the court today. Sir, it's not a court. I know it's not a court. anyway, ladies and gentlemen of the court, I would like to address how Christian Walker has been ass over the last year. Let's get to it. First of all, let's look at this batting average. Everybody turn to page 3 in your pamphlet of why I think Christian Walker is bad at baseball now. Right, like
it's
what a
weird.
terrible experience to be a part of as a player, where you just have to calmly and quietly sit there while someone drags your season through the mud and says all the reason why you're not worth the amount of money that you should be. I'm with you. It's a ridiculous process, and most of the time it seems fairly unnecessary because it doesn't seem like a lot has shifted. It doesn't seem like we're not talking about millions of dollars. A lot of times, usually it's a small amount
teams
by
are
comparison.
Close. Go ahead, Derek.
I was gonna say it's I could see how that's something that just more so than anything else just seems like a ridiculous part of the process, right? Like you agree to pay X amount of dollars over the life. Term of the contract, right? If contracts were just simpler in baseball, where you could reach objectives, and if you don't reach the objectives, you get paid this amount. If you do, here's your bonus, right? You got 100 RBI, we get paid an extra $3 million this year. You got, 40 plus home runs, there's your extra, $2 million or whatever, right? Like that kind of stuff seems to make it easy. And it makes it clear cut. It gives guys an objective. I feel like it dangles the carrot in the appropriate way and gives, players an objective to reach. Right. And again, doesn't pay them this outright amount to just play baseball, good or bad, and get paid a whole bunch of money, regardless of if their game, slides off over 2 or 3 years into their long-term contract. I know it's not that easy, though. It's like gambling. It's like anything else. Sometimes it's set a certain way because they know exactly how to, keep these guys kind of under the thumb of the teams. Right. And they know how to do certain things that the players or even sometimes the agents can't necessarily predict how things are going to go, for these guys and their performance over the years.
I'm glad you brought up agents because that's another big piece of this. The issue with doing away with arbitration from the player's perspective, at least one of the issues, is they're like, I like my agent. Like I hired my agent and we have a good relationship. And if arbitration is no longer a thing, I don't need my agent anymore until I hit free agency, right? Like the agent's role in those early years is to negotiate an arbitration. That's the reason they're there. And if there's an objective system based on numbers where arbitration is no longer necessary, then agents sort of become obsolete, at least until a player hits free agency. Right. So that's an issue from the player's perspective. The players want an opportunity to negotiate their salaries and determine what they're worth. And so it's weird because the players, in a way, are really the ones advocating for this ridiculous process where they have to sit there and listen to people talk about how they're not worth what they say they are. But that's the situation right now, Derek. And I mean, I could go on. There's just a lot of areas where these two parties are really, really far apart. And there's just no way that this gets resolved in the next 9 days.
You've said that the lockout is inevitable, but you've also said that a work stoppage is not likely. I wanted to get
stoppage in the sense that there is a work stoppage is inevitable in that baseball is going to shut down.
Correct. In the lockout situation, right. In the lockout situation, then there can be no further transactions. There can be no further free agency pickups or trades or anything like that that occur. Right. So I get that. But you don't think that there will be a delay to the season.
Right. Yeah. Both sides have a very strong incentive to make sure that we start this season on time. There may be an issue with spring training pitchers and catchers reporting a little late. Yeah, I think there might be some contractual agreements with how many games of spring training have to be played. I don't know if they can just kind of say, all right, we're only playing 10 games of spring training this year, and then we're going into the season. I don't know if that can happen. So I think between February 1st and February 15th, that's what Jeff Passan wrote within the last week or so about this situation. That's kind of the consensus. People seem to think this will be resolved by then. But what that means, Derek, is that between next Wednesday and the beginning of February, there won't be any free agent signings. There won't be much of anything that happens, which for one is going to make our podcast really interesting, because I don't know what the heck we're going to talk about when there aren't even transactions happening. But that's why we keep you around, Derek. You're creative enough that we always wind up with something.
Jesse, let's not forget. Let's not forget, during the offseason, during the regular season, it's still always tank season. It's always tank season, Jesse. We always got tank season to fall back on. I'm wearing a tank right now. It's tank season. It's beautiful here.
How do we have that graphic still loaded right now?
I don't know what to tell you. It's ready. There's a button I press and it goes at any time. It's an emergency kind of situation. But
we have it on speed dial. Got it.
Yeah, I got it queued up at all times. But yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. And I don't know what baseball is going to do if there is any kind of delay to the season. As it stands, from the day that the labor deal ends, pitchers and catchers report literally 2.5 months later, right? Like, we're talking about February 15-ish is when pitchers and catchers report.
Yep.
So they don't have a lot of time to work this out. You know,
and that's why they got to get this done. I mean, they got to try to get it done by then so that the whole schedule doesn't get pushed back. And that's the point when you'd risk actually losing games. And neither side wants that, because that means both of them miss out on money. So
there you go.
Obviously, they have a pretty strong incentive there.
Especially spring training. We talked about how lucrative it is, how packed it is. I mean, people can't wait for spring training, despite the fact that they could have had a very, very fun spring training, very inexpensive spring training light during the Arizona Fall League, as we told people. But, you know, now we got to wait a couple more months. And the problem is we might have to wait even longer than that. And I really hope that's not the case, because, again, as we discussed on yesterday's podcast, I'm not going to beat it up again. I just don't think baseball is in a position right now to be, expecting people to hang around and wait for them. You know, I think that there's just too much other stuff going on. There's too many forms of entertainment. Nobody can keep up with their streaming watch list. You know, that few people have finished both Ted Lasso and Squid Game. And I applaud you if you have, but I'm just saying there are a lot of things out there. There's a lot of alternatives for entertainment out there now, more than ever, you know? So baseball just needs to be very weary of that, both the owners and the Players Association. So, but you know, we're going to talk about some of the stuff that we might see next season. And then we're going to talk about some of the stuff that we want to see next season. But what we want to talk about right now is turkey. We want to talk about Thanksgiving and we want to talk about the DraftKings Sportsbook app being the official sports betting partner of Thanksgiving. No, that's wrong. They're the official sports betting partner of the NFL.
I didn't know holidays could do that.
Yeah, I know, right? Just brokered a deal with the entire holiday. But they are the official sports betting partner of the NFL, and they have a Turkey Day no-brainer that you can't miss. New customers right now can bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. You take that free money, you turn around, you get it into a parlay, right? One of those same game parlay offers that's sweeter than grandma's pumpkin pie, and you win yourself, 20, 40, 60, $80 off of that free money. Each bet when you go in there, those $100 in free bets are all separate bets, and you can take them and sprinkle them around just like you're going to with the seasonings on your Thanksgiving meal. For all Thanksgiving games, all customers get a risk-free bet up to $25. Also, if you same game parlay doesn't win, and that happened to me, my same game parlay, Jesse, did not win. I turned that $25 that I got from them as a free bet into another parlay that did hit. And honestly, that's the fun of it. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. And they do They do sweeten the pot with not only those kind of risk-free parlay offers, but they also do boosts for your odds boosts and all sorts of stuff that you can get on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Plus, you can find new sports to bet on. That's the best part, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and betting on some sport that you don't even understand. Go download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code PHNX and bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. 21 and over only, Arizona only. Gambling problem? Dial 1-800-NEXT-STEP. New customers only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Jesse, what do you want to see baseball change? I know what I want to see. But let's first start off with what we could see. Right? There's a lot of contractual salary stuff. I know that there could be a soft cap, or I think they have a soft cap now. They could implement a bigger bigger luxury tax or all sorts of things to try to get teams to stop spending so much more money than other teams. But what do you think that we will see as part of this new labor deal? Not necessarily what we want to see, but what we will see.
It's hard to say. I mean, as I wrote the other day on the website, I mean, there's still a lot of negotiation to happen. So honestly, the proposals that are out there right now are probably not going to be very similar, if at all, to what the final situation is. But if nothing else, they're pretty fun to look at and just kind of see what kind of madness, especially the owners, are cooking up right now. The owners have proposed some bizarre things, Derek. So they've proposed that you hit free agency at age 29 and a half. So it doesn't matter when you come in the league. If you enter the league at 28, you become a free agent at 29 and a half, no matter what. And if you come in the league at 21, you become a free agent at 29 and a half. So that's pretty weird. Check out my article for all the specifics of how that would affect the Diamondbacks. It'd be pretty strange. You would miss out in a big way on team control over a guy like Josh Rojas. I think it was 3 years fewer team control over Josh Rojas because he came in the league at 26 years old. And so he's going to hit 29 way faster than he's going to hit 6 years of service time. So that would be a huge, huge difference. There was also a proposal. Honestly, most of what we know is from the owner's side.
My question is why would the owners want that? Why would the owners want them? Like, why would they want that 29 cap?
I guess it's sort of a trade-off where like a lot of players, most players will hit free agency sooner. So they're saying, all right, let's do this. And that's going to make the Players Association happy, right? Because most players will reach free agency sooner, right? Theoretically. The flip side is that, and the players' disagreement with this is that most of the biggest money makers in free agency are the guys who get there at 27 or 28, right? Corey Seager and Carlos Correa, right? Those big name guys, those guys aren't that old yet. So
they're younger, they're more exciting, they hit the market sooner.
Yeah. Right. So the guys who make the most money would get to free agency later on when they're not going to make as much. Mm-hmm. And so the players' disagreement here is like, yeah, sure, you know, maybe most players in this scenario would hit free agency sooner, but the biggest money makers are going to hit free agency later. And they're the ones who ultimately set the market, right? The market is built from the top down. You know, what is Carlos Correa worth? And that helps us determine what everyone else is worth.
Right.
So that's something that's been thrown out there. The player side of things, we haven't heard quite as many specifics as far as what they're interested in. I mentioned the arbitration thing. There's some other competitive balance things that they're interested in introducing. But from the owner side, another thing that they threw out, which is especially interesting for the Diamondbacks, is a salary floor, which is kind of a strange concept. But they threw out the idea of a $100 million salary floor where teams have to spend that as a minimum. And it's unclear what the penalty would be if you don't, or exactly what the specifics are there. But what do you think about that, Derek? What do you think of baseball not having a salary cap, but having a salary floor?
It shows how ridiculous they are with their spending money. I think a salary floor is an attempt at collective bargaining, or not collective bargaining, competitive balance, right? Trying to make sure that these teams don't just literally tank with their roster because they can't actually tank. It's too long of a season, but they can pay people very little, and they can put out a very poor team on the field that isn't going to do very well. And they can do that for a number of years. That's the Astros blueprint, right? The 100 plus season or 100 plus loss seasons for 3 years in a row to acquire as many top picks to your farm system and as many just pieces as you humanly can that are young, right? You know, pieces. That's something that the Diamondbacks are going through right now. You know, I don't think they thought this season was going to be that bad actively. I don't think that they tried to field a team that was going to lose 100 games, but that's what the result was, right? So I get it, because the Arizona Diamondbacks spent close to what, like $20 million less than $100 million? So
by the end of the season, it was pretty low. I think they started at $96 million. Okay. So I'm guessing you just,
I think they're around like $84 million. Yeah, right. Like you can shed contracts
right.
throughout the year, but right, like you said, if you drift below $100 million, you get penalized in some way, right?
Well, my question is like, what do we do with the Pirates? I believe the Pirates spent $45 million last year, so like the Pirates would just have to go out and sign like. I don't know. Like that puts them in a particularly difficult spot, because you can't just sign, you can't just sign in a 1 year deal, you know, a guy who's going to fill up that much salary space. If you have yes. $55 million to spend, you're going to have to bring in some guys on some big multi-year contracts that you're not going to right. Like if someone has that's that the high intention, of an average right? annual value, right.
That's what they're trying to force teams to do, is to not let these franchises that want to just kind of do, like Pittsburgh's much different than Arizona. Again, it's kind of like the position yeah. the Colorado Rockies are in. Pittsburgh is still going to pack that ballpark. People love coming out to that ballpark.
I don't know. I've never been to a game in Pittsburgh. I don't know if they pack out. They don't.
When they're very bad, they do not. I will say that. I'm being a little bit
bad.
Facetious, but no, that when you see shots of that ballpark, even when they are bad, I mean, they might have a similar problem that the Diamondbacks have, that there's a lot of opposing fans coming out to watch their team play the Pirates mm-hmm. instead of it being this big support for that type of a franchise that's been bad for a while. However, it doesn't mean that a lot of people don't like to come out to that ballpark, because again, much like the Colorado Rockies experience, it's a beautiful night out. Yeah. It's a great night out.
I don't even notice how many people are at games in Pittsburgh, because when I see pictures of that stadium, I'm just mesmerized by how amazing that stadium is.
Just
right?
just that view behind them, right? It's perfect, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I think that teams do need to do a better job. However, it was kind of like the looking on the bright side for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I could be mad that they didn't spend more money, but if they did and they were still this unsuccessful, what was the point? It was just money kind of thrown down the drain. Again, a team like the I hate to keep throwing mud on their name, but you know, a team like the Padres are very exciting, and they spent a shit ton of money, and they still did not make it close to the playoffs, because that's baseball, right? You have to find the right pieces. You can't just throw money at something and expect it to work. You have to have a cohesive team, and obviously we saw with some of those certain, you know, things that took place in the dugout, they did not have very much cohesion on that team. I'm sure the losing impacted those feelings strongly. I'm sure there was a lot of frustration with that team. Their expectations were very high, and they didn't live up to them last season. Who knows, though? They have all those guys locked under contracts, and I think they're still got a good chance to have, you know, all of those expectations from last year fulfilled next year, you know, but we'll see. I know that this collective bargaining agreement could change the game in a couple of ways that some people expect it to. I know that the universal designated hitter has been talked about. I know playoff expansion has been talked about. And I know reduction of game length has been talked about. These are all things that I don't know at times if one is going to impact the other, right? Playoff expansion And moving that salary floor up, that could solve some of the, you know, competitive balance issues we have in baseball. Just having more teams be able to make the playoffs and having, you know, more teams have to spend money. You never know when a team is going to be an unlikely, you know, 110 game winner like the San Francisco Giants were this year. But I just don't know if at the end of all of this, we're going to see all of these changes in baseball based on the fact that people still want things to stay the way they are instead of trying to change this game to gain some more traction, to make it more interesting, you know, just to get more people into baseball.
Right.
Mm. I'm a big fan of reduction of game length. Let me tell you, okay. I can't stand 3 hour plus baseball games. And it felt like every single Diamondbacks game I watched this season or was in attendance for was 3 hours plus. Those Arizona Fall League games, Jesse, let me tell you, when I looked up and we were an hour and five in and we were in the seventh inning, let me tell you, I wanted to go hug every umpire and player on both teams. You know?
Well, wait, I wanna ask you, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I believe they use the pitch clock. I think they use the 15-second pitch clock.
They do use the pitch
clock. What was that like? Did you enjoy the pace of the game? Did you notice, or was it not even really noticeable?
It just moved faster. That's all. It just moved faster, and that's okay. It. I think for me personally, I chalked it up to these being younger guys and it not being as important. So guys aren't going up there. They're not arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes. As a matter of fact, the couple of times we did see guys argue balls and strikes, you know, because most of these people out there watching the game are like retirees and stuff at 1:35 on a weekday, right? they're yelling at the kid like, go sit down. It's an AFL game and stuff. Like, what are you doing? You don't argue balls and strikes here. None of that matters here. Go sit down, you know?
Right.
So there's that kind of attitude about those games. Right. But I mean, it's kind of a pleasant attitude to have where everybody's like, shut up, stop your belly aching and go into the dugout. Right. Like if baseball maybe was a little bit more like that, we wouldn't have these long games. The umpires were still checking players' gloves, the pitcher's gloves after the inning. So all of that stuff was still going on. There was no change to the regular process as the game goes. It just, things just move faster, you know, and you don't have them doing, you know, card matching games in between innings, and you don't have the Legends race, and you don't have all of this stuff, right? So it's like, I like some of that stuff. I don't want that stuff to go away, but without it, there's no actual pause for those things to finish up so that then they could keep playing baseball. They'll just get out there. And as soon as, you know, everybody's out in the field, they take the field and they play and someone yells, let's go. And they go. Right. So it's like the pace is just better. And I feel like all of that stuff and TV timeouts is what impacts the game slowing down more than the guys wanting to get back out there and play. You know, I didn't see guys taking a long time. Like a guy literally just struck out. He went out, got his glove, ran back out there. Was that back out on the field in like, you know, 30 seconds. So
sure.
I just know personally, I don't root for the Diamondbacks to win anymore. I root for sub 3 hour games as a member of the media. That's all I root for. When you see me fist pumping in the press box, it's not because the D-backs won. It's because we went 2:45. That's why. Yes.
Oh man.
I might be able to still go hang out with my friends tonight at the bar that they were at. You know, that kind of thing. But
baseball's average game length did increase this season. I think it was 3 hours and 10 minutes,
it's
which
stupid.
Is pretty significant. How is that possible? Increase.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's honestly, I don't know. I'd have to look into that more because they're doing things to try to make it better, right? The extra innings rule doesn't seem to be having a huge impact at the end of the day. And I mean, they've obviously made changes in the bullpen, right? Lefty specialists are, in a sense, kind of a thing of the past with the rules there. So they're trying, but things so far just haven't really been that effective. And that's coming from the league side. The players don't really care that much about the length of a game from what I can tell, but the owners are interested in trying to reduce game length. And they're also the ones responsible for playoff expansion. I don't think the players want playoff expansion, but the owners, of course, are interested because, you know, playoff expansion means more playoff games. It means more cities involved in the playoffs, which ultimately means more revenue for the league. And so that's sort of their motivation there. So a lot of these things come down to money. I mean, at the end of the day, sure. But I'd like to think that there's some bits and pieces here that we can truly just decide as baseball fans, right? Like what is best for the game rather than just man. What is best for, you know, our wallets along the way. But I'm probably being naive and thinking that's ever going to happen. So
Jesse, from 2019, which is when they implemented the 3 batter minimum reliever for relievers.
Yeah.
You know, last season they did, they implemented the clock, right?
The in-between innings clock.
In-between innings clock, right? It's not like you can actually get, but they have a giant red clock counting down that tells you when it's time to play the game, right?
Right.
So all of these things tried to cut down the time of the game. Jesse, in 2019, the average game time was 3 hours and 5 minutes and 35 seconds. In 2 seasons, it's up almost 5 minutes in average per game. I can't even understand this. In 2 seasons, from 2019 to 2021, it is now 3 hours, 10 minutes, and 7 seconds. My God.
I don't know how we, like, why is that? That's so weird.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. You know what doesn't make any sense is that in 2019, it was 3:05:35. In 2020, it was 3:07:46. That was the pandemic season, Jesse. Yeah. There were no fans in the stands. There's no reason for it to take longer. There is zero reason for it to have taken longer in that season than in 2019. It doesn't make any sense. The only thing that can account for that is like more extra innings games and such was played. You know, that's the only thing I can think of that would cause the average time to go up like that. But holy crap, man. 4 years ago, Jesse, 40 years ago, the average MLB game was 2 hours and 33 minutes. 40 years ago, the average game was 2 hours and 33 minutes.
That's pretty wild. I mean, I guess it's probably because 40 years ago, you didn't have, you know, so many specialized relief pitchers and starters went deeper into games. So that's definitely a big part of it. But I mean, that is a catastrophic, I mean, an enormous difference, right? Like there's doesn't no way that just a few pitching changes makes up 40 minutes in a baseball game. So there's bigger issues here. And that's a big concern for the league is we want to make sure that the product we're putting on the field is something that fans really enjoy and can get behind. So that's a big concern for them. So I don't know. I think the last thing here is the DH, right? And the DH I think is pretty likely to happen. So
yes,
for all of you,
everybody wants that now. And that's another thing that could impact, right? Like how many times they have to swap the pitcher out during the game to have, you know, for those matchups, right? Which is something I actually like about the strategy of baseball. I like late innings when your pitcher's doing well or reliever's doing well, but you have to take them out because you need that extra bit of offense. I think that is a part of baseball that I love, but I'm willing to sacrifice it for shorter game times, Jesse. I'm done. Yeah. I'm done with all of this because we've talked about the average pitcher batting average and all of that stuff, you know, and I get how bad relievers are and I get that, but that's, again, that's part of the strategy. I like you essentially have to figure out how to go around these guys like a game of chess, you know, and generate some offense if you need it when you might have a pitcher that's doing extremely well, but can't do, you know, lick at the plate. Right.
Right.
But I don't know, man. I mean, I'm ready at this point just to move in that direction. I know that higher scores interests people, even though that's not a big draw for me to baseball games. But, you know, again, if we can do anything to improve what people dislike about the game of baseball and make it better, make it more fun for fans to come out, then I say, let's do it. Right. So if a designated hitter is going to really impact the league and increase offense and get people more excited about, you know, that long ball situation, then let's do it. You know,
yeah. The D-backs would also benefit from the whole DH thing because they have a number of positionally challenged prospects coming up through the system. You know, Seth Beer, Andrew Young, maybe Buddy Kennedy. Some of these guys that where you're going to play them defensively is a little dicey, and that would certainly help them out.
All right. Well, you can get all this great information about the collective bargaining agreement and how this could impact the D-backs on gophnx.com. check out Jesse's article on it. Become a member. You can get an annual membership, which will get you a free t-shirt. Go over to the Coyotes or the D-back, or excuse me, Coyotes or the Suns. Check out their additional offers, because you might just get more than just a t-shirt if you go through them. But definitely check out the phnxlocker.com. Our t-shirts are incredible. I will be wearing them all week long. I decided to go with this number today just so I could bring up that tank season graphic. That's the only reason why I wore it. But I want you guys to go to phnxlocker.com, send us the shots of your shirts. We love our Diamondback shirts, but let me tell you, we'll have some new designs coming around. Once we get through this collective bargaining agreement situation and the season is on the horizon, but there are some phenomenal designs for the Coyotes, for the Cardinals, and for the D-backs, or excuse me, for the Suns. So please go check all of that stuff out over on phnxlocker.com. And if you don't want to become an annual member, you can become a month-to-month member and you'll get your first month for just 50 cents. So again, either way, new members will get an amazing offer. And hopefully after your first month, you'll want to stick around for a year, get yourself a free t-shirt or two, and then maybe pass those off as some Christmas presents to your loved ones and get them to join the PHNX family. But we appreciate you guys for doing that. If you are a member, we thank you so much. If you're not, remember, we also have discounts, buy one, get one t-shirt offers, our members only Discord, all other things that we can get you into here to become a part of our family and to chat with us and get away from all that BS on social media. But I'm going to give you some BS right now, Jesse. I want to talk about the things. I know these things aren't going to be part of the collective bargaining agreement, but I want to talk about some things that I would like to see as part of the collective bargaining agreement.
Okay.
First of all,
I've seen your list, Derek. I need some explanation on a lot of these things. All right. So well, go ahead.
top of my list, stop TV blackouts forever. Right.
Okay.
I think that's something everybody can get on board with. Right. I get it. Stop, you know, the TV blackouts, it doesn't do anything to help the game. It's unfair to people that want to watch, they want to get a TV package. They want to order MLB, you know, extra innings. They want to do this stuff. And then you guys tie their hands and make it stupid. You guys make it restrictive. You make it hard to watch their favorite team, which is what you claim that they're supposed to be doing when they get this kind of TV package. So stop it. Knock this shit off. Stop. Fans in Las Vegas can't even watch the Diamondbacks when they have part of their package. If they're too close geographically, it's absurd. So knock that shit off. I want rain delays gone, Jesse. Just get rid of rain delays altogether.
Explain this one, Derek. Like, so when there's lightning, like catastrophic lightning in the sky, you're just like,
okay,
just all right. Play through it.
All right. Well, it's not a metal bat, Jesse, but fine. I will say if there's catastrophic lightning in the area, maybe we'll delay it a little bit. But
okay.
Some of these just downpours. I want this game played through it. I want slip and slide baseball. I want guys, you know, diving, and I want balls hitting the infield grass and just staying there, you know, not rolling. I just want them to hit the grass and just that's where they are now, is right there.
There is something that would be enjoyable to see the players like just kind of having to deal with the elements a little bit. It's probably very unsafe, and that's why this is never going to happen. It is amusing. Yes.
Hey, am I trying to get my team that has a home stadium with a retractable roof an advantage? Sure, Jesse. Yeah. Sure. That doesn't matter. Here's another one I feel like we can all get on board with. This one isn't so weird. Can we just stop this RBIs shit? It's runs batted in. So I think we need to adapt a universal usage of RBI, period. So a singular, as a plural, it's RBI. It is RBI, Jesse.
I don't disagree with you, Derek. I just
20 RBI, 50 RBI, 1 RBI.
That needs to
a
be
RBI.
In the yes, collective it does.
Put it in the collective bargaining agreement. Too many people have a say in this. Do you know how many editors have changed my RBI to RBIs? I hate it every time. Unless I'm saying ribeyes, and when I say ribeyes, I mean the word ribeyes and not RBIs. I do not want you adding a goddamn S onto the end of my terminology in my article.
So what does this look like in the collective bargaining agreement? If any individual in an organization says it wrong, then they immediately get penalized like $75 or something.
No, $75. I'm not trying to make it crazy. Okay. No, but I'll tell you. If you get hit for a $75 penalty for using RBIs, you're never going to forget it ever again.
Well, some of these guys who make like several million, they might not. I think you're going to have to up your penalty a little bit if you want people to take it seriously, Derek.
First offense, $5,000. Second offense, $75. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Most importantly, Jesse, we need to ban the wave. Okay. And when I say ban the wave, I mean ban the wave. Like, if I'm not saying everybody that does the wave needs to be ejected from the ballpark, I'm saying that they can find that rapscallion, that troublemaker that started it, and eject him from the ballpark.
Okay. Look, okay.
Okay. I'm saying you do the same thing with fan interference, right? If a fan interferes with a ball, you know, we go down, we have a pleasant conversation, but it's an unfortunate conversation. They understand what they did wrong. We understand what they did wrong. And they are gracious most of the time about leaving without security having to arrest them. I am just asking, and I don't think it's too much, for them to do the same thing for the guy that started the wave. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just trying to envision all the poor, like, guest services employees at Chase Field. Man. Like, I'll just point out, constantly Jesse. Going
I'll point him out. I'm like, it's that guy. 118D, row 32. No, in the white hat. That guy, there he is. Yeah, that's him. Get his ass out of here. No more wave. I ain't having it.
I think you just have to make this happen yourself.
Do you know how many people have torn their rotator cuff doing the wave, Jesse? It's an unsafe practice, and people shouldn't do it. It's a stupid thing.
I think we should not as cool as you think it is. We should just take it upon ourselves, Derek. Instead of sitting in the press box next season, let's just go out and let's just accost anybody that starts the wave. Exactly. Exactly.
I'm with it. I'll get like Wave Hunter shirt or something, you know. I'm gonna find you. Ban the wave.
I feel like there is a t-shirt idea in there somewhere, because that's really something that true Diamondbacks fans are all on board with.
Ban the wave, Arizona Diamondbacks A, right? The A in the middle for the ban the wave.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. Well, we hit the nail on the head with this one. But you guys, thank you guys so much for watching and sticking through us. You can send us your ideas. We want to know what you want to be included in the collective bargaining agreement. Yes, and remember, it you want Dutch Brothers back? It's in the CBA. You tell me and we'll get it in there. All right. The Diamondbacks listen to this podcast, so we'll see what we can make happen. But don't forget, our code on DraftKings is PHNX. That'll get you that free $100 in free bets instantly on your Thanksgiving day games for betting just $1 on any team. And as long as those teams score, you score. Also, go over to PHNX, sign up to become a member at gophnx.com, and, you know, become a member of our family. Join us. We want you. It's that Simpsons gift of join us on the couch. That's not what he says. He just says, join us, but you get
well, going. You know, I'm not going to know what you're talking about.
That's why I'm like, I feel like I have to explain it to you, but I'm not explaining it to them. They know what gif I'm talking about. I'm explaining it to you. More importantly, if you're listening to us right now in your favorite audio podcasting app, please subscribe and drop us a 5-star review. If you're watching us over on YouTube, go over to your audio podcast app. Do that. If you're on your audio podcast, go over to YouTube. Subscribe there. Crisscross, applesauce, do all that. Sign up for notifications and you'll get all of this hot, fresh, baked Arizona sports content from the fine folks at PHNX. We thank you guys so much for doing that. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. The show is at @PHNX_DBacks. But of course, all roads lead to @PHNX_sports. That's on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Please, guys, drop us a line. Let us know what your collective bargaining agreement stipulations are, and we'll make sure to add them to the list. We thank you on behalf of Jesse and myself. We appreciate you guys checking out the show. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you bet on it.